relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600. This is America First with Sebastian Gorka, and I'm very proud to introduce our guest host for today, Jennifer Horn.
Thank you, Dr. G. That's Dr. Sebastian Gorka, and I am Jennifer Horn. Happy to fill in for Dr. G on America First on loan from Salem Radio, Los Angeles. I host The Morning Answer on AM 870, AM 590, The Answer, The Jen and Don Show on AM 590. Sometimes I collect radio shows like people collect coins. But I thank you for joining us today. Also, have some fun with Dr. G on Wednesdays for our California Crazy Update every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. So make sure you check it out. You can follow me on Twitter at Jennifer Horn. And please follow Seb at Seb Gorka. You can also check out the website anytime for all things Gorka. SebGorka.com is the place. Now, if you have not been under a rock for the last, 10 months, you have been following the story of COVID-19, how it has shut down our country, how it has hurt our economy. And there's a lot of misinformation that is going on about vaccines and all sorts of things. So I thought it would be good to kind of demystify a few of the stories going around right now, to break a few of the fake news headlines that are circulating in the mainstream news media. Joining us right now in America First is Dr. Jeff Barkey. He is one of the frontline doctors. He is also available on Twitter to you at RX_for Liberty. You can follow him online there. Also check out his website, rxforliberty.com. And he's got a book that is out that's really fantastic. You can get it right now. It's called COVID-19. It's the second edition of Physician's Take on the Exaggerated Fear of the Coronavirus. And the foreword is done by our friend, Salem Radio colleague, Dennis Prager. Dr. Jeff Barkey, welcome to America First. Thanks for being with us.
Jen, it is an honor to be with you on America's First Radio Network. How exciting.
Well, it is exciting, and it's important to have you here with us today, Dr. Jeff, because as one of the frontline doctors, you have called into question so much of the fear-mongering that's been going on, not only by the medical professionals who have been leading us in these decisions of states and local municipalities to shut people down. You've also talked about the vaccine, and I think that's where we should start today, because the second vaccine from Moderna started to roll out. It was distributed yesterday. It was injected for the first time today. Now, there are a lot of people who are confused about whether or not they should be taking this vaccine. And I think it's probably one of the greatest, well, it'll be one of the best legacies, I think, of the Trump administration, because it's given people hope. It was done in a quick amount of time, such a small amount of time. And that's good, because it's going to help people get back out and get out there. But, Dr. Barkey, this vaccine is not for everyone. Let's start with the Moderna vaccine. How is this one different than Pfizer, or are they relatively the same?
Well, they're very similar in the technology that they use. That is, they use messenger RNA technology. First time ever in a vaccination, although this technology has been used in bringing medications specifically in the cancer world to market. So Pfizer and Moderna use same technology. One of the advantages of Moderna is that it does not have to be stored at negative 70 degrees. So it just can be stored like other vaccines in the freezer and then taken out at room temperature before you use it. So that will give standard offices, medical offices, et cetera, the ability to get this vaccine and then ultimately give it to local patients, as opposed to the Pfizer vaccine that is mostly being distributed to major players like commercial pharmacies and healthcare institutions, where they have the capability of the deep minus 70 degree freeze.
So it's a little bit easier to distribute because you don't have to have those really tough conditions. I mean, to have that available in a minus 70 degree environment, that's really tough. But it's doing mostly the same thing. Now, what are you telling your patients? You practice in Orange County, California. What are you telling your patients about getting the vaccine? Who should get this? Who should consider it, at least? And how should people go about doing this?
Well, listen, healthcare providers are very excited that this has come to market, and I think it will be fantastic. But at the same time, we need to be cautious as we roll this out. We need to remember that this is a investigational vaccine that is being used under emergency use authorization, which is fine, but it is investigational. And because it came out relatively quickly and it has limited testing, we need to be alert and cautious for potential unexpected side effects. We've seen that already with allergic reactions, and there's been several severe allergic reactions that prompted Pfizer to say, we didn't see this during the studies, but as a precaution, if you have a history of severe allergic reactions, like somebody that normally carries around an EpiPen just in case, they ought not get the vaccination at this time. So it's also possible that we'll see additional side effects that weren't expected or weren't seen during the studies. So those that are at highest risk, in my opinion, should consider getting this vaccination. Those at lower risk, from my perspective, it's a wait and see to make sure that it's safe, to make sure that those that are most vulnerable have an opportunity to get this vaccination. But we're all very optimistic. We're very hopeful that it continues to be safe and effective. We won't know that for sure until some time has passed.
Now, we always hear that the ultimate goal, Dr. Jeff Barkey is joining us, one of the frontline physicians. You can follow him at @RX_for Liberty on Twitter. Dr. Jeff, we're hearing that the end goal and the reason that we want people to get this quickly, we want to roll out this vaccine quickly so that we can build up herd immunity. How many people, if people are taking their time in getting this vaccine, or if they're thinking it through or sort of the you first mentality, will we even be able to achieve herd immunity if everybody's not willing to play?
Yeah, I think so. And I think we'll get to herd immunity with a combination of natural immunity. Those of us that have gotten the COVID virus infection and have developed natural immunity, and those that will get immunity through the vaccination. So we don't need to immunize 70% of the country to reach herd immunity. What number is that? We're not sure. But I think we'll get there rapidly. And most importantly, if we shift and we vaccinate those that are at highest risk, those that are, let's say, older than 70 or have significant underlying health conditions, mm-hmm. then we can easily open up the country, because we know from the CDC statistics that if you're young, the survivability rate of this virus is very high. From the CDC's own data, if you're less than 20, 99.997% of survival. And if you're less than 50, that's 99.98. By the way, that 99.98.
I'm not a gambler, but I kind of like those odds, Dr. Jeff.
Right? And, you know, 99.98 or 0.02% death rate, that's in the ballpark of seasonal influenza, which, by the way, has magically seemed to have disappeared this year. So if you're young and reasonably healthy, you shouldn't fear this virus. If you're old and have significant underlying conditions, you need to be very, very careful. And those are the folks that I think should consider getting the vaccination.
All right. I want you to take a listen to this audio clip. Dr. Salawi was on CNN this week, and he talked about a new variant of COVID-19. So interested in your thoughts on this. Remember, a while ago, the story was this new strain of COVID was on the loose in Texas. Now we're hearing that the UK has a new strain. Take a listen to Dr. Salawi, and then your thoughts on that, Dr. Barkey.
Sure. So we don't know yet. We are, of course, particularly at the NIH and the CDC, looking very carefully into this. Many strains of the virus are sequenced all the time. This virus is what's called an RNA virus. This is an approach to being a virus that is prone to more mistakes in the way the RNA is made than when it's a DNA virus, and therefore there will be variants. The key is that the spike protein requires really very, very specific three-dimensional structure that makes it hard for it to mutate too much. So up to now, I don't think there has been a single variant that would be resistant to the vaccine. We can't exclude it, but it's not there now. And this particular variant in the UK, I think, is very unlikely to have escaped the vaccine immunity.
What do you make of that, Dr. Jeff Barkey?
Well, let's see if we can break that down and translate that into English. The bottom line is this. Viruses often mutate where the same vaccination that we used last year is not good this year. The classic case is influenza. So every year it's a brand new influenza vaccination. It is believed with coronavirus that the spike protein of coronavirus that the vaccine is designed to ultimately attack is relatively stable. So we won't know until we know, but the belief is that that spike protein is stable. Therefore, the vaccine we use today should still be the vaccine we're able to use tomorrow. Only time will tell, though.
That's really good news. Dr. Jeff Barkey is here. He's going to hang out with us for another segment because there's a lot of panicking in the mainstream news media about shutdowns, hospital overcrowding, and we will talk about all of that. Plus, if you've already had it, do you need to get the vaccine? They're encouraging President Trump to get it. We'll get Dr. Barkey's take on that. Follow him online, rxforliberty.com, and on Twitter at rx_forliberty, and pick up the book, COVID-19, A Physician's Take on the Exaggerated Fear of the Coronavirus, with a foreword by Dennis Prager. More up ahead. Dr. Jeff Barkey stays with us. Jennifer Horn in for Sebastian Gorka on America First.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
This is America First. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. And joining us right now we welcome him back, Dr. Jeff Barkey. He is one of the frontline doctors. He's got a book that you should get right now. It's available on Amazon. It's called COVID-19, A Physician's Take on the Exaggerated Fear of the Coronavirus. You can follow him right now on Twitter at rx_forliberty or online, rxforliberty.com. Dr. Jeff Barkey, welcome back. Now, so many questions and so many myths and fear that is just needs to be tamped down when it comes to COVID-19. First, before we move on from the vaccine, a couple of quick questions here for you. For people who've had it, there's a lot of pressure on President Trump to get this and do it publicly on television. Now, he's had coronavirus. I've had coronavirus. Do we need to get the vaccine?
Good question, Jen. It doesn't really make sense if you've had coronavirus that you also need the vaccine. I think from a President Trump standpoint, he will likely get it as a public display that will encourage others to get it. But from a medical standpoint, it just doesn't make sense. If you've actually had the virus itself, then your body will have built immunity, either antibody immunity or T-cell immunity, and there really isn't a reason, there isn't a compelling reason, especially when the vaccination is in limited supply, that you need another vaccination.
All right, so we're going to hold off on getting that vaccine if we've already had it. Now, as far as early treatment goes, in full disclosure, Dr. Jeff Barkey, when I got coronavirus, I was on the phone with you lickety-split, and you gave me really a great cocktail of vitamins to take. You told me, let's see if I can get this, because I still take it today, because why not? 5,000 milligrams or 5,000 IUs of vitamin D, 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C, and 50 milligrams of zinc. Did I get that right? Because that's what I've been taking every single day since I got diagnosed.
Yes, absolutely. That's about right. But of course, before you take any medication, you should check in with your own doctor. And although 5,000 international units of vitamin D3 is usually what I recommend, your D level can actually be measured by a blood test, and then more precisely, a supplement can be recommended.
Okay, so check in with your doctor on all of this. But there's something that is making news, and I'm going to try to get it right. Is it ivermectin? Is that what it is?
Close. It's ivermectin. It's an older generation antiparasitic. Yes, it's an antiparasitic medication, and it's shown some excellent abilities against COVID-19. And I've been using it now for several weeks. It seems to work really well. Like hydroxychloroquine before it, it is safe, relatively inexpensive, and well-tolerated. So that's a new thing now that we're using. And as I'm using it, I'm realizing a lot of the pharmacies are out of it. There's a lot of doctors that are now prescribing it, both prophylactically and for treatment. So it's another tool that we have in our bag of tricks to treat this virus, and it seems to work really well. So the early intervention with mild symptoms is the key here to treatment, not to simply sit around and wait until you're sick enough to need to go to the hospital.
That's right, because one thing about COVID is that it can take a turn. You can be totally fine. Some people have a mild cough. Some people have a headache, and that's it. Other people, you can get really sick. So the best thing to do is stay and monitor your symptoms with your doctor. Dr. Jeff Barkey is here. You can follow him on Twitter at @RX_for_liberty. You can also get his book. We'll have that information for you in just a few moments. But some of the panicking that's going on in the news media, Dr. Jeff, is so troubling to me because it is scaring the heck out of people. And people who are having chest pains, for instance, may decide that they don't want to go to the hospital because they might be hearing that hospitals in their area are overwhelmed. We live in California. In Southern California, the message is that ICU, that intensive care units, ICU beds are out, that we're at 0% occupant or 0% capacity, and that the hospitals are literally overrun. What do we have to be aware of here? Because this isn't always the truth. This is a salacious, sensational headline that the news media likes to run with. But that doesn't mean that we can't get the medical treatment that we need, whether it's for COVID or something else, right?
Yeah, no, that's right, Jen. And they don't tell you the whole story. So this notion that there is zero ICU bed capacity, what they do is they set a number above which they don't want to go for treating COVID patients. So, for example, let's say you have 10 ICU beds and you say we don't want more than 30% of those beds or three to be held by COVID patients.
Okay.
If you get to that three number, then they describe that as there is zero ICU bed capacity,
wow,
even though there still may be ICU beds available. They also don't tell you is comparative data to the census of a hospital this year versus last year versus the year before. It is pretty common this time of year for hospitals to be very, very busy. They are designed to be very busy. So while they are busy as a result of COVID and other illnesses, there still is capacity in most hospitals. And although we need to be cautious, we need to be careful, nobody should be panicking that there isn't room at the inn for them if they do get ill.
And I think that's so important because there are so many people who are avoiding going to the doctor, avoiding treatment. This is not something that you should do. You should be able to freely check in with your medical professionals no matter what you're hearing from the mainstream news media. What is the biggest myth, Dr. Jeff Barkey, that you've heard from the mainstream news media or from an elected official maybe about this COVID-19 pandemic?
That COVID-19 is an equal opportunity virus. It just simply is not. If you're in a young age group and you're relatively healthy, this is not a virus you should fear. I certainly wouldn't want you to get sick, but this virus is survivable, especially if you're in a younger age group. If you're in an older age group, you also shouldn't be fearful. You should be cautious. You should have a relationship with a doctor. So if you come down with this virus, you get early intervention for mild symptoms. Too often I get contacted by patients who've been told by their doctor simply to stay at home and wait. And if they get sick enough, go to the hospital. That's
right.
The wrong approach. We need to treat aggressively with early symptoms, and almost everybody that's the case with will get better.
It's really good information, Dr. Jeff Barkey. All right, our executive producer, the G-Man, he says that he wants to. It's Jeff. He had a question. And Jeff wants to know, to you, Jeff Barkey, we're surrounded by Jeffs, that people who are getting the vaccine are still being told that they have to wear the mask. Now, if they have been vaccinated, if they do have a 95%, if the vaccine is 95% effective, why in the world would we need to keep up with the masks and the social distancing?
Because masks are important to continue to instill fear in the population.
Okay.
So it doesn't make a lot of sense. We don't wear masks after we're vaccinated against influenza. However, bringing this virus to market, the studies were not showing, as it wasn't studied, whether or not if you get the vaccine, you can actually transmit this virus to other people. So that's one of the flaws so far of the early studies. It just wasn't looked at. So we just don't know yet. If you get the vaccine, is it possible that you could become an asymptomatic carrier and spreader of the virus? We just don't know. But from a common sense standpoint, once you're vaccinated and immune from the virus, masks should no longer be necessary.
Dr. Jeff Barkey, thank you so much for all of this great information. Follow him right now at @RX_for Liberty or rxforliberty.com and pick up that book, COVID-19, A Physician's Take on the Exaggerated Fear of the Coronavirus. Thank you, Dr. Jeff Barkey. More up ahead. This is America First. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
FDNY firefighter Stephen Silver gave his life while saving others on 9/11, and the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. I'm asking you to support this cause that's committed to honoring our nation's heroes and ensuring people never forget 9/11. Help Tunnel to Towers to do good. Donate $11 a month at tunnel2towers.org. That's tunnel2towers.org. Thank you. I'm Sebastian Gorka on America First. Let's get back to the show with Jennifer Horn.
Thank you, Seb. That is Dr. G himself, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, out today. I'm Jennifer Horn. I am happy to be filling in for him. I'll be here today, the rest of the day, obviously, and tomorrow. So make sure you join us. You can always check out Seb online, sebgorka.com. Follow him on Twitter, on Parler, on Facebook, at Seb Gorka. You can follow me in all of those same places, at Jennifer Horn Radio. Not the weird Jennifer Horn that started the Lincoln Project. I get mistaken for her all the time. We have the same name, but we have very different ideals. I love President Trump. I think he is the greatest president of my lifetime. And I'm a Republican. And the other Jennifer Horn, well, she's not all of those things. All right. We're talking with Dr. Jeff Barkey about the COVID vaccine, the second one rolling out today. And this story blew my mind. It came out over the weekend. I don't know how I didn't see it on, I think it came out on Friday. Yeah, on December 18th, Andrew Yang tweeting out on Friday. But this has got to be the craziest glimpse into what 2021 is going to look like. Take a listen to this. If you missed it, my head almost exploded last night when I was going through some stuff for show prep. So Andrew Yang, who ran for president this year, and actually, let's just say it, he did quite well and actually stood out during the debates. And there were a few things that he said where I was like, not so bad. He makes a few points. Would I ever vote for him? No, but he was okay and he did well. Probably most of us didn't know who Andrew Yang was at this time last year, and now we do. He would love to work for Joe Biden. If they are indeed sworn into office on January 20th, he would like to be a part of that administration. So he's out there and he's trying to make news. And on Friday, he sent out this tweet. Tough to have mass gatherings like concerts or ball games without either mass adoption of the vaccine or means of signaling. Is there a way for someone to easily show that they have been vaccinated? like a barcode or something they can download to their phone. There ought to be. That's what he says on Twitter. Now, I don't know about you guys. Think it's a great accomplishment of President Trump, maybe one of the best of his administration, to come up with the vaccine that gives people hope and that allows us to move forward as a country and as an economy. That being said, it freaks me out a little bit when I hear people describing these vaccines as being stabbed into their first arm. That sort of bothers me. This really bothers me when I hear Andrew Yang, who wants to work in the Biden administration, saying that we should have a barcode once we get vaccinated. Now, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I've got all of my vaccines. I think I'm up to date. I think I'm current. I will probably, if they tell me I need it, get the COVID-19 vaccine. I will probably do that. I'll make that decision with my doctor. I'm not against the vaccine, but what I am against is some guy, a progressive, telling me I need a barcode. I mean, should we just make it easier for him and just tattoo the barcode on our forehead so they can just scan us before we get on a cruise ship or on an airplane? Does anyone else think that this is a little weird and over the top? And are we, after a full year of letting government overreach into our lives and giving up our personal freedoms, now going to allow people to give us barcodes so we can just be scanned? Or I've also heard, in California, we have the Real ID, you know, the Real ID technology, the chip. I've also heard that they're going to use that chip to track us for the vaccine. Is this something that you're into? Am I alone in thinking this is a little weird? 833-33-GORKA. Join us in conversation. 833-33-GORKA. You can tweet me at Jennifer Horn, at Seb Gorka, 833-33-GORKA. It just feels like a little bit too much for me. And I'm a capitalist through and through. I love capitalism. I think it is the most fair system on the planet. And I support private businesses having the right to set their own rules and regulations. But does it feel very American to you when you have someone who wants to go to work for what some people believe is the incoming administration saying he wants to barcode Americans? What is next? How are they going to track this vaccine? And I can tell you, look into that crystal ball that we're all holding into 2021. And if you think 2020 is weird, wait till you start to have people like movie theaters, if they're ever allowed to open. I live near Disneyland. If Disneyland is allowed to open, if you want to go on a cruise, if you want to hit that airplane, that you're going to have to open up your phone or have them do a retinal scan or show them a chip so that they know that you've been vaccinated, so that you'll be allowed to move about the cabin freely. Now, again, I'm not against the vaccine. I'm all for it if that's what you want to do. But does it feel right in this country? 833-33-GORKA. Your calls on that, plus a glimpse into this COVID stimulus bill. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
No violence, no hate speech, just happy warriors on America First.
That's us, a team of happy warriors, and we are here to remind you that we are getting down to the wire. Guys, Christmas is in just 4 days, and I want to urge you to support Dr. Gorka's Angel Tree campaign, which has already blessed over 3,000 children who have a mom or dad in prison. We want them to still be able to experience the joy of Christmas thanks to our friends at Prison Fellowship. I want to assure you that it's not too late. You can give with confidence to Angel Tree, which last year served over 300,000 kids nationwide. It's so incredible. Relationships like that begin with trust and with a mission. We can't let even one prisoner's child miss out when Christmas comes. Now, children are not to be punished for the misdeeds of a parent in prison. That's where you come in. I'm asking you to open your heart and your wallet and go to my friend Seb Gorka's website, sebgorka.com. Click on the Angel Tree banner. For a donation of just $22, you can literally change the life of a child this Christmas. Or For just $220, you can bless 10 children of prisoners with a special Christmas gift, a personal note from their incarcerated mom or dad, and access to a new Bible in English or in Spanish. But Christmas is coming just 4 days from today, so please go to sebgorka.com or phone your tax-deductible gift to 888-206-2794. That's 888-206-2794 to join Seb's Angel Tree campaign right now. We thank you in advance, and from all of us here at America First, from Shad and Eric and Jeff and from Seb and from all of us, we wish you a Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for your generosity in advance. I am Jennifer Horn in for Dr. G. He is Seb Gorka. He is out. I'll be here tomorrow as well. So pleased to be in for Seb today. Now, check out sebgorka.com again for more information. We talked about Andrew Yang. We'll get to your phone calls in a minute. He wants to get a barcode for people to prove that they've had a vaccine. But before we get to your calls, got to talk about this stimulus bill. This guy's is getting more incredible and deeper by the minute. We talked to Stephen Moore 2 hours ago. We talked to him in our 3 p.m. Eastern time hour, 12 p.m. on the West Coast. And he said, Jen, this bill is 5,000 pages, the stimulus bill that Congress is reviewing right now. Well, he even undercut that. It was 5,593 pages in this spending bill. And Congress has 6 hours before they have to vote on it. So they're literally being told, our congressmen and women, our elected officials and their staffers, they have to read 1,000 pages an hour with no breaks to try to figure out what is in this thing. And what is in this thing? $600 in stimulus checks, which is great. If you make under $100,000 a year, you get $600. Everybody loves free money. We love free money from the government. So fire up that laser jet. Go ahead, start printing out the money. But here's the thing. For people that have jobs, look, I'd love to get a check. I think we pay too much in taxes. But if we're working, wouldn't it be better not to give us that $600? Wouldn't it be better to keep that so we don't get ourselves further in debt, or maybe give it to someone who is actually shut down or out of work? That's one of the problems. They're giving a $300 incentive on top of unemployment to incentivize people staying out of work. They're doing billion-dollar bailouts for the airline industry. Now, the one win I think that's worth noting for Republicans is that it was the Democrats' desired effort to bail out blue states, California, New York, states that had not managed their money well, that were overtaxing and overspending, and that had a problem far in advance before we even knew what COVID was. My state of California was dealing with unfunded pension liability, and they had us in a hole. But when COVID came along, that got even worse, and Nancy Pelosi and Democrats wanted to give them a bailout. Well, Republicans did hold the line on that. So that is not part of this bill. But what is? A few other interesting things. 6,000 pages, again, that everybody's kind of filtering through. The COVID relief bill mandates new hiring measures to ensure diversity in the intelligence community. Now, look, I'm not anti-diversity. Diverse thought, diversity around us, it's all fantastic. But diversity in the intel community, does that have anything to do with the local business who has been shut down in California since March? The answer to that one is no. It has nothing to do with it. This is what frightens me about Democrats and about the incoming, if he is sworn into office in January, if Biden's administration does take over. When we talk about national security and the threats around us from Russia and China, what have we heard from the appointees from Biden so far? None of them are talking about anything. They're talking about getting back into the Paris Climate Accord. They're talking about getting back into the Iran deal. And they're talking about systemic racism. The incoming national security advisor of Biden sworn in is not talking about threats. He's talking about making sure that systemic racism is tackled and that diversity is encouraged. Here it is again in this bill. Now, again, not against this, but I'm against it being in a COVID-19 relief or stimulus bill. Also in this bill, $1.5 million for the Appropriations Committee's Office of Diversity Inclusion, as well as lots of money for receptions and social events. It also creates a commission tasked with educating consumers about the dangers associated with using or storing portable fuel containers for flammable liquids near an open flame. Now, which one of these dopes in Congress says we've got to have a commission about the dangers of flammable liquids. I mean, this is immediate. You know, people are suffering here, but doggone it, those gasoline containers, we need a commission on that. That's in your COVID bill. This thing should have been done months ago, guys. It should have been done to actually, if it was set out to help people, this should have been done to help people, like on a time frame that would have been useful. But Democrats did not want to give President Trump a win before the election, so they made us wait. And this is what they're giving us so that they can go on their Christmas holiday. And oh, by the way, not by mistake, they're looking at the calendar and they're seeing that January 5th, which is the date of the Georgia Senate election, that's coming up. So they're putting together this bill to shut people up. But if you read inside of it, you're going to find that there's now a commission for gasoline cans. It also gives another $40 million to the Kennedy Center. Remember, they got $25 million in the last bill, and it's no coincidence that Nancy Pelosi's daughter works there. And it stipulates funds can't be used for accessing pornographic websites unless, of course, it's official business. Thank you, Congressman Eric Swalwell. We will have more from this COVID-19 bill. What's inside of it? What do you need to know? There's a whole lot more you won't believe. We'll have it for you. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. America First continues.
Portions of today's program are brought to you by Prison Fellowship.
Thank you so much for joining us. It is America First. I'm Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka, and I'm actually stunned just reading through what is in almost 6,000 pages of this COVID-19 bill. It was just posted online literally about an hour or 2 hours ago. And now members of Congress are reviewing this. They're going to vote on it today. They had 6 hours to review over 5,593 pages of stimulus / relief bill, all for COVID-19. And just going through it, they've now created a commission for appropriate use of gasoline cans. We talked about that before the break. How about this? COVID-19, everybody needs relief, right? We need stimulus to help businesses, small businesses, and individuals. No. This COVID relief bill includes funding to discourage teenagers from drinking and hooking up. Now, our producer Jeff just said, maybe send them back to school, and that might be in the cards. But this text literally says, provided further that no more than 10% of the funding for such competitive grants for sexual risk avoidance shall be available for technical assistance and administrative costs of such programs. Provided further, the funds provided in this act for embryo adoption activities may be used to provide individuals adopting embryo. I mean, this is what's inside of the COVID-19 bill. Why not a clean bill that deals with the people who are hurting the most? Instead, this has become an omnibus spending bill where you put in your pet project of the day. The COVID relief bill also includes $193 million for federal HIV/AIDS workers stationed abroad to buy new cars. Thank you, Congress. Those people, I'm sure, need new cars. The COVID relief bill includes funds for a museum that will offer programming, education, exhibitions on the life, art, history, and culture of women. Also, really high on that priority list. What else, you ask? The COVID relief bill lays the groundwork for a climate security advisory council. The COVID relief bill will make it illegal to give racehorses painkillers before training or racing. I am not making this up. It is all online. You can check it out in the 5,593 pages if you need some light reading before you go to bed tonight. The COVID relief bill outlays funds to address gender inequality among statues, because, you know, that's a big concern for many people. This is pretty unbelievable. All of this stuff happening right now. As we speak, all of these items that are in this COVID-19 relief bill that will shock you, members of Congress now bristling over being given 6 hours to read this document, and they will have to vote on this tonight. It is pretty incredible. All right. In our last second here, Charlie in Hollywood, literally 30 seconds for you on line five.
Hey, how are you? I just want to say Prison Planet is finally here. Alex Jones was right. Everybody thought he was crazy all that time, but It's happening.
All right, Charlie. Thank you. I don't know about Alex Jones, but I will say that everything is a little crazy. Probably stuff we didn't think was going to happen is happening. All right. Follow Seb Gorka at Seb Gorka, SebGorka.com. You can follow me online, too. I appreciate it on all the platforms at Jennifer Horm. I'll be back tomorrow. Thank you, everyone. Shad, Jeff, Dr. G. This is America First.